I'll invite you to take your Bibles today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in two different texts today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. And then when we come to the table, we will briefly look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. So 1 Corinthians 10, 16. One idea today about the Lord's Supper. Actually, two ideas, but one idea from this passage today about the Lord's Supper. It is a participation. Let me read this verse from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing or participation or fellowship, a sharing in the body of Christ? Many of you know that my grandmother recently passed away at 95, and I'm very thankful to all of you for the sympathy and the kindness and the love that you poured out to me and my family. I greatly appreciate that. As I reflected on her life and my time with my grandmother, I thought of the various ways that we communicated, technologically speaking, over the years. So I remember we used to communicate. I used to call her after dinner, because you never called during the supper hour, right? Call after dinner, call after 7, with this thing called a telephone. And it went through a landline, and you held up this thing called a telephone. You punched in the numbers, and it was a big plastic thing, and you held it to your head. I know that some of us can't remember. But I would talk to her on the phone. We would send cards at Christmas time and birthdays. And then as time progressed, she learned to email. And we would email back and forth. And I take credit for being the one who taught her AOL Instant Messenger. We didn't really use that much. But the last time we communicated together, we used the old trusty iPhone, and we FaceTimed, and I was able to sing her happy birthday. And that was the last real face-to-face that we had. But none of those ways of connecting to my grandmother compared to Thanksgiving dinner around the table, because that was the highlight of the year for us. And we would gather there around grandmother and granddad, share stories, catch up on life. She would extend encouragement and love around this long family table that got longer and longer as the children and grandchildren came along. There was nothing like that moment of connecting to her through a face-to-face communication and interaction around the Thanksgiving table. There's diverse ways of communicating. There are many ways to communicate with my grandmother, and there are diverse ways that God gives us. There are diverse ways that God gives us to commune with Him. We commune with Him in prayer. We commune with Him in the preaching of the Word, as we sit under the Word, as the Spirit applies it to our hearts and our minds. And in a very special way, in these moments, we're going to commune with God, and we're going to commune with Christ at the table. This is a moment that is very unique. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 says we participate in the body and the blood of Christ. In drinking this cup, we somehow participate in the blood of Christ. In eating the bread, we have fellowship. That Greek word is koinonia, fellowship with His body. And in this moment, we are going to be renewed and refreshed by Jesus, who is hosting this Thanksgiving remembrance victory meal at this table. We're going to join Him. And if understanding this passage today leaves you feeling like you don't really understand what's being said, that's okay, because it's very difficult to understand what Paul is saying here. And in a sense, we're not supposed to, because this is a profound mystery. This is a profound mystery. But in these moments, the benefits of the gospel are represented, they're sealed, and they're applied. They're applied to us once more as we feast on Christ. There's something very special happening here. Jesus alludes to this and states this directly in 1 Corinthians. Sorry, Jesus speaks of this in John chapter 6, verse 53. John 6, 53, Jesus says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you." Jesus is talking about receiving Him by faith, and He's also pointing forward to that communion with Him at the table. Spiritually, in this moment, we are going to enjoy our union with Christ, our connection to His body and His blood sacrifice for our sins as we take communion. Now, yes, we were purchased on the cross, and at some point in time, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and seals that to us and makes us alive and applies that salvation to us. But that saving work, that sealing work, continues as we continue to enjoy the benefits of salvation over and over again as we taste Christ and see Christ. Certainly, we were made right with God at one point in time, but over and over again, we come to enjoy the benefits and the blessing of that salvation at His table when we come to Him. Here, He nourishes us. And as the Belgic Confession says, He strengthens and comforts our weary souls by the eating of His flesh, and He relieves and renews them by the drinking of His blood. And don't you experience that? Don't you experience that when you come to the table? Don't you long to be with Christ as you gather together? And as you pass the plate and the bread and the juice, as you pass those elements, don't you find yourself encouraged by Christ and who He is and what He's done for you? And as you leave and walk out of the sanctuary, don't you feel this unique sense of warmth and joy and say to yourself, so good to be in God's house today. It was so good to be at His table today. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. Jesus is in heaven. His body is in heaven. And we are on earth. But as Nathan Trice says, though Jesus is in heaven and we are on earth, when we come to the table, the two supernaturally by the Spirit meet. Somehow, in some mysterious way, we are being connected once again to Christ's death for us on the cross. Now, this doesn't mean Jesus is dying once again for our sins. This isn't some sort of sacrifice that happens here over and over again. But in these moments, we are connected. We're connected once again to the blessing of Christ's once for all sacrifice. So, what is happening is that we are communing with and enjoying Christ. And this communion, please understand this, this communion is of supreme importance in the life of this church. We don't believe it's more important than the preaching of the word, but it's of supreme importance in our church life that we taste Him and see Him. It must be said that this communion is not something that we can enjoy in our personal quiet time. This communion is not something that we can enjoy in a Bible study. It's not something that we can even enjoy in Sunday school, even though those things are good. But this is very special, and it's been given to us by Christ. And so it is very special. Sometimes we might ask, why do I regularly need the Lord's Supper? Well, why do we regularly need to eat food? Well, we need physical nourishment. So why do I need the Lord's Supper? Because again and again, I need to see and savor and participate and be nourished by Christ, by the gospel, as part of my regular spiritual diet. Another way to think about this might be helpful to go back to my grandmother. What would it be like for me to say to her this last Thanksgiving, which was the last Thanksgiving we got to celebrate together? What would it be like for me to say, grandmother, I think I'm just going to call you on the phone this year. Why do I need to really be at Thanksgiving? if my granddad had been alive, I probably would have to pick myself up off the ground before she could explain to me, "Son, you're missing the high point of the year. You're missing the high point of our fellowship as a family. Why in the world would you miss Thanksgiving dinner?" How much greater is this high point of our worship? Why do we need the Lord's Supper? It's like asking, why do I need fellowship with Jesus? Certainly it's a remembrance of Jesus, but it is also fellowship with Jesus. And so this passage in 1 Corinthians 11:26 that we'll touch on briefly in a moment encourages us to do this as often as we do this. As often as we eat the bread and drink. Now, Dr. Ferguson, Sinclair Ferguson, asked the question, how often is often? Well, guess what? It's often. So, just to be clear, it's often. Children, those of you who will observe the Lord's Supper today, those of you who are here today in worship, I want you to see what's going on at the Lord's table. One of my children, you can guess which, asked me recently, said, "Daddy, I want to see Jesus. And why can't I see Him now?" See Him now. See Him now. Because He knows that we need to hear God's love and we need to see it on display. And so, just like parents, you give to your children, and children, you get gifts from your parents to remind you how much they love you. Jesus has given this church a gift to remind His children how much He loves them by stretching Himself out on the cross and having His body broken and blood shed. Isn't it wonderful today to see our children here, to see them see how much Jesus has done for His people? So in these moments, let's hear how much He loves us and taste and see and know that He is with us. Let's pray. Great God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent Your only Son to make us His treasure. And so we ask that in these moments You would be with us and encourage our hearts and strengthen us at this table. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.